So today I want to talk about the measure of success in the eyes of the Lord. Let us open Deuteronomy chapter 28, first and second verses. And let us think about the measure of success in the eyes of the Lord. So let us start with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Now if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of Adonai your God. Such an interesting place of scripture. I know that in the eyes of the world, successful people are those who have achieved outstanding results in their field, who have money, position, etc. I would like to read one of the definitions of success. Successful person is one who succeeds in life and has an extraordinary amount of social and financial capital to back up his success. This is the definition of this world. But today, let's find about success in the Bible, in the scriptures. How is success usually measured in the scriptures? Maybe in an abundance of money and high positions in society? Or does success measures only by good relationships in the family? So what about success in God's kingdom? How do we know if we are successful in the Lord? How to know that? How is success measured in the eyes of the Almighty God who created everything? Remember the example of the victorious, handsome, charismatic King Saul and the young, unknown shepherd David. When the Lord rejected King Saul, he told the prophet Samuel these words. It is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. For he, the Lord, for he does not see a man as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks into the heart. But Adonai looks into the hearts. What does the Lord consider as success in the scriptures? So let's look at examples from the scriptures, because only there can we find the answer. And only the Bible is the basis of our faith in God. Only the Bible. One fascinating story from the Bible is described in Mark chapter 10. So let us read together. Mark chapter 10. Fascinating story. Verses 17 through 20. Mark 10, 17 through 20. As Yeshua was setting out on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Yeshua answered him, "Why do you call me good?" Yeshua said to him, "No one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother." And verse 20. The man responded, "Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth." So we know this story. We know all this story. The young man was rich, and in the people's eyes, he was an example of prosperity and God's blessing. I'm sure that many looking at him said, "Look, the Lord is with him. How successful he is in the eyes of the Lord. There is so much God's blessing on him." What's even more interesting is that this young man kept the commandments. He was an exemplary person without external flaws. This is in the eyes of the people. But what about the Lord, who knows the secrets and who looks into the heart? So for this young man to be successful and blessed in the sight of God, what did Yeshua tell him to do? Do you remember? Let us read next verse, verse 21. Looking at him, Yeshua loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go, sell as much as you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And verse 22. But at this statement, the man became sad and went away grieving, for he had much property. Then looking around, Yeshua says to his disciples, "How hard it will be for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Yeshua answers again and says to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." What a story. The young man went away from Yeshua. What a sad story. How tragic it is when a person, because of his apparent success and prosperity, because of his wealth, leaves the Savior. In the eyes of Yeshua, the money and material success of this young man did not mean anything. What people so admired, which they considered a sight of God's blessing, became the cause of spiritual death and falling away from the Messiah for this young man. Remember the following verses of Mark chapter 10, verse 26. The disciples were even more astonished, saying among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Yeshua said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything to follow you." "Amen, I tell you," Yeshua replied, "there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property, along with persecutions, and in the Olam Haba, world to come, eternal life." What a story. I'm sure the Lord is not teaching us not to work, be poor, or abandon our families. It is good when we have enough finances, a successful career, a strong family, when we love our parents, and the Bible teaches us about all these things. But Yeshua, through this story, wants to teach us about our trust. He shows us where to put our hope, how to maintain our faith, our faithfulness to Him. He is helping us to understand whom we put on the first and the most important place in our life. Who is the first? The truth is that what is on the throne of your heart controls your whether you want it or not. If there is a hope in money, then what will happen to you if you lose your money? If you live only for a career and are ready to compromise your conscience and faith to achieve success in career, who will you become if something happens to you and your job will be taken from you? If you live only for the sake of your family and neglect the scriptures, do you remember, love the Lord your God, or the people around you and love your neighbor, then how can you lead your family to faith in God? Think about how selfish your children will grow up. We should be an example and strive for the best. We need to work and prosper. We need to love our family, but at the same time, our hope, our faith, our future should be built only on Yeshua. And only then, no matter what, even if everything collapses, and you know the world will collapse eventually, we will withstand with the Lord. We will be together with Him. We will be strong. Your life is like a ship sailing in the sea. Sometimes it is a quiet and calm sea. Sometimes it's a raging sea and reefs around us. But if Yeshua is the captain of your ship, everything will be fine, no matter what. Let's look at another story from the Bible, the life of Job, righteous Job. I have a question for you. What do you think? Was Job prosperous and blessed or not? Let us read Book of Job, chapter 1, started with verse 14. Book of Job, chapter 1, started with verse 13. And I know this is not a popular message, but it's an important message specifically for today, because we live in such a times like that. So let us read together Job 1, verse 14. A messenger came to Job saying, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing near them. When the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off, they also killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone escaped to tell you. And you know how it can be. Misfortunes never come alone. So verse 16. While this one was still speaking, another came in and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and servants. It has consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell you. Next verse. While this one was still speaking, another came in and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took them all away. They also killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you. While this one was still speaking, another came in and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine at their oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind came from beyond the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on the young people, and they died. And I alone escaped to tell you. Verse 20. Then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshipped. Then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. Adonai gave, and Adonai has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This was not the end of Job's sufferings. Next chapter, chapter 2, verse 7 through verse 10. So the Satan departed from the presence of Adonai and afflicted Job with painful boils. From the sole of his foot to the top of his head, he took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Verse 9. Then his wife said to him, are you still holding firmly to your integrity? Curse God and die. He said to her, you speak as any foolish woman would speak. Should we accept the good from God and not accept the bad? Through all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What is the story here? In the people's eyes, in the eyes of his wife, even his friends, Job was crushed by God, forgotten, and rejected by the Lord. There was a complete defeat in his life, and he lost everything. The believing friends tried to find some problem in Job, pushed him into self-condemnation and a sense of guilt. They were convinced that there must be a secret sin in life, in his life, some door through which all these diseases and defeats came into the life of Job. It really reminds me of the thoughts of self-condemnation that come to the mind of a sincere believer who is going through a valley of death in his life. These thoughts of self-condemnation. Maybe there is secret sin or something hidden and I don't know, maybe I need to do something. People were asking and were talking about Job. Look, what a shame. Where is his God? Did it seem to you like a success and a blessing in the life of Job at that moment? I don't think so. But what does the Lord say about him? Let us read from the scriptures, book of Job, chapter 2, verse 3. This is the way how the Lord looks at Job in the midst of all these troubles and problems. Verse 3. Then Adonai said to the Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and spurns evil, and he still holds firmly to his integrity. Though you inclined me against him to ruin him without any reason." In the eyes of the Lord, Job was the most successful man on the earth, because Job's hope and faith were not in his money, not in his own family, not in his health, but God alone. When Job was going through difficulties, he did not know what was happening in the heavens at that moment. He did not know about spiritual warfare in the heavenly places, that Satan was trying to accuse him in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't know anything of that. Job saw suffering and trials around him, but he remained faithful to God. He did not curse the Lord in his heart. He remained faithful. We later found the answer to why all this happened. Let us open Job chapter 42, verse 1 through 6. Let us open together and read the reason why Job went through all these troubles. But remember, while it was happening to Job, there was no book of Job, chapter 42. He hasn't been able to read his own story. He needed to live through it. It was his destiny. Job 42, verse 1 through 6. Here's the end of this book. Here's the final discussion between Job and the Lord. So Job answered Adonai and said, "I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, 'Who is this who darkens counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke without understanding things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. You said, 'Hear now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will inform me.' I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent on dust and ashes." The answer of to why all this happened to Job is in verse 5. "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you." The Lord came to Job. Job was able to see the Lord. The Lord became a comforter and source of salvation for him. He came to Job. The Lord looks at our success in a completely different way. Do you remember Matthew chapter 16, verse 26? Matthew 16, 26. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? A pure and a damaged soul is more valuable before the Lord than all the riches of the universe, a pure and undamaged soul. A successful person knows how to go through difficulties and times when it seems that the world is collapsing and there is no future. So let us briefly look at lessons from Job's life. Here's are Job's milestones of success. Let us take some lessons for us. So first lesson, he remains humble before the Lord. Do you remember verse 20, chapter 1? When everything happened to him, then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head. You would think he could be complained, he could be angry, but he fell to the ground and worshipped. What a faith. What a faithfulness. What a love to God. He worshiped the Lord. The second, he worshiped the Lord. By this, Job expresses his dependence on the Lord. Even in the difficult situation, when he lost everything, he worshiped the Lord. Third, he blessed the Lord and glorified him. Verse 21, chapter 1. Then he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. Adonai gave and Adonai has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Number 4, very important. Please remember that. Job did not blame people and didn't blame himself. In difficult times, the weight of condemnation falls on the human soul. Satan can push us in the direction of self-condemnation or condemnation of others. Job wasn't blaming others, and he also didn't blame himself. Instead, he decided to bless the Lord. He blessed the Lord. He didn't condemn people and himself. He blessed the Lord. Logical explanations are not always enough, so Job received an answer from the Lord. Logic cannot explain everything that happens behind the scenes of life. It is truth. So, and the last, but the most important, Job continued to believe, prophetically looked at the atoning sacrifice of the Messiah. He believed in the atoning sacrifice of Messiah. Let us read Book of Job, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This is an important place of scripture for all of us, especially who is going through difficult time right now. Let us read Job 19, 25 through 27. These are his words, right in the midst of difficulties. Then everything crashed around him. He's praying. He's saying these words. "Yet I know," and can you see here, "yet I know," it was not matter of "I think" or "I believe" or "I maybe," but he said, "yet I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand on earth. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I, not a stranger, my heart grows weak within me." Such a place. So today we looked at two opposite examples from the Bible. One, the story about the wealthy young man, whom everyone considered prosperous and blessed, but who turned out to be a complete loser from the Lord's point of view. And another story from the life of Job, from whom everyone considered cursed and forgotten by the Lord, but who saw God face to face and turned out to be the most blessed person on the face of the earth. I do not want us to compare ourselves with Job or give away all our possessions as the wealthy young man. Each of us has our unique path, our own trials and difficulties. Each of us has his calling, which is different from the young man's calling in the Bible or calling of Job. But what I want to say today is written in today's chapter from the Torah, Deuteronomy 28:1. "Now if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai, your God." The success and blessing of a person in the eyes of God are in being able to hear the voice of God, to obey Him, to walk the way of Messiah in His life. And if you are going through difficult times, or it looks like the Lord forgets you, please do not be quick to condemn yourself. Or if somebody is in a difficult spot, do not judge him. You can be wrong and doesn't see the hand of the Lord. This is how success is measured in the Bible. Listen to the voice of the Lord and obey Him. Be in the place the Lord called you to be and do His will. This is the measurement of success. Do you remember? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Amen. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we usually do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric and Anya's home for a final song. Let us pray together. Yevrechecha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.